Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've had an incredible week here, and we're still recovering from this whirlwind conference we had. If people haven't seen the website, go to the website and look at some of the speakers. We just had Michal Ledwith, Chief Advisor of the Pope, who's talking about 2012 and giving us some incredible information that we may not have till 2012 with, you know, all of the increase in solar activity that's going to be kicking up here with our Earth grid down, the magnetic field around the Earth. So basically, I think we're all experiencing that. I know the sun here is just cranking. It was 106 degrees, which is pretty hot for this area down in the Dells, just below us here, and 99 up here on the mountain. But it's pretty intense. The sun just seems very different right now, where, you know, we used to be able to just put a hat on and hang out and work in it and not really worry about much. And now it seems like whatever rays are coming from that sun are going right through the hat and right through the clothing and everything else. So there's definitely something up with the sun. It's doing its thing. It seems to be much stronger, even though they say the solar flares and sunspots are down. The emanations of the sun are much stronger and moving out, and our shields are down. The magnetic fields around the Earth have some pretty big holes in them. So we're definitely getting ready to do something, probably a magnetic pole shift and, you know, who knows what else. But we're definitely on fast-tracking through these changes. We've had some great UFO activity here. If you haven't gone to the website, there's a couple links there if you want to click on them and watch. Renato Lingotto actually filmed four big ships coming in, one right after another, and we actually looked up heavens above, and there was nothing in our area. There weren't any space stations or major satellites or Genesis. Nothing was actually coming in. But they came in from the south and went directly over us. And when we do see the space station, which we have seen lately quite a bit, it's been coming in from the east. And actually coming in from the west, going east, and we've actually filmed it. So we definitely know the difference. But anyway, we had a lot of the guests out there. Lisa Renee was standing out in the field, while a lot of the other speakers were out in the field and all got to witness it. Brooke Sagna was out there, who's getting ready to do the Inner Earth Expedition. And during the conference, he actually interviewed some of the speakers at the conference. I was too busy working with the conference. There's just so much going on here, but we're moving ahead. We're moving ahead very fast right now. Things are taking off. The interest here is just overwhelming. We've got some BBC people out here right now that are here to record some of the events here. We just had Fox News came up. We just built a beautiful tower here called the Purple Tower, and the top of it we have. It's all set up for filming, for anything you want to film, but you know, that's all ready to go. But we had Fox News up there with their cameras, and they got some pretty good shots. They missed the big ones. We had some very big ones come in and power up, and they didn't get those. But hopefully they'll use some of the footage we gave them, and they did get to see quite a few ships, as well as some major power-ups. They just didn't get them on film. The energies right now, after the conference, I don't know if people are noticing lately, but there does seem to be almost like a dimensional warfare going on, or some kind of a spiritual warfare. And there's an old saying in the yogic traditions that the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons are going to rear their ugly heads. And we are moving in that direction. The whole earth is going through an awakening healing process, where we're moving up in frequency and vibration. And we're moving out of the lower levels of consciousness and moving up through into the higher levels. And these other entities are being shaken up pretty bad, so they're doing all they can to create chaos and confusion. And my best advice right now is to make your own personal God connection and become the observer, and don't react to these energies. Don't give them any energy whatsoever. Just focus on love and joy and bliss, and make that first and foremost on your list, and don't give these other energies any time whatsoever. We've actually had people that have allowed these entities to jump right into them, and it's been quite a little experience here where a script is being the same script we're hearing through these people, and it's just amazing to sit and watch this script, and you go, wait a second, they must have some really bad writers in the astral level, because they're saying the same thing, you know, over and over again, and trying the same tactics, and it just doesn't work here at the sanctuary, because our whole focus is on the higher consciousness and energy, and we're not really going to go there into the blame and projection mode or any of the other nonsense. We don't really support any victim roles here, and we empower people to make their own personal God connection and move forward. And sometimes that process means things are going to come up, and they're going to surface, and you're going to have to deal with them, both in the outer world and on the inner world. They're both interchangeable, you might say. So things are going to be moving, feelings are going to be coming up, old patterns, old wounds, old traumas, old wrong conclusions from past experiences, and then other levels as well that are also harboring these lower frequency energies, you might say, are also being shaken up. So hang on to your hats. It's going to be a wild ride, and we are definitely, you know, going full tilt, full swing into this awakening healing process. And you know, this process, those who want to move in this direction and become part of the new earth and the new world, whatever you want to call it, not the new world order, but another world that's manifesting, that's so far beyond what the new world order boys have planned. If you're going to be a part of this, it means you're going to have to stand up and stay centered and focus on love and joy and bliss and live in harmony with each other and the planet, and don't allow yourself to be pulled out of your center or pulled back down into the competition and the greed and the separation game, because that game is coming to a close. So hang on to your hats. We are on a ride. You bought the e-ticket, you know, and you're here for a reason. It's good to find out what that is, why you're, you know, what your unique purpose is. It's going to be a very interesting ride here coming up, because we do see, although a lot of people say there aren't going to be any earth changes, and they're not going to be, I mean, it's going on right now, so you just have to look around you. And there are social, economic, and physical earth changes, as well as some incredible spiritual energies coming in and other beings to help mitigate some of these changes and assist us in this process. And that's basically what we're all about here at ESETI. We're here to assist people in, you know, making their own inner contact with the higher dimensional beings and assist them in the awakening healing process, and, you know, making that connection with the God within. Because that's really where we're going to need to get our information, other than radio shows like this one, because it's very clear now that many of the mainstream radio stations, you might say, have been pretty much absorbed. You know, so even stations that you would think are here to bring out all the conspiracies and all the top information are really here to control it and to keep it going in a certain direction. One of the things we talk about often is that in the UFO field, there's groups that want to keep it all dark, they want to keep it all negative, and they want to keep it in the past. You know, keep your next crank back to Roswell or some other event. What they don't want is somebody that's having ongoing contact now with some very benevolent beings that are very spiritually and technologically advanced. That's the last thing they want. Because when you bring that information out, all of a sudden the game's over. And you find out that we have fuelless energy, we have anti-gravity, we have counter-gravity. We have everything we need to turn this planet around and live abundantly and freely. And we don't have to be enslaved through manufactured lack and enslaved through dependency, which we are now. And that's why they don't want this new information out. And the bottom line is the, you know, money talks and money's in control right now, but who knows how long money's going to be around. So I'd keep an eye on that as well. You know, one system has to go for the new system to come in. But anyway, it's going to be an interesting ride. And hang on to your hats again. Buckle up. You know, the airship is launching. Get ready for a wild and crazy ride, and look at it all with loving amusement. That's the only way you're going to get through this. And don't defend yourself. Don't jump into the blame and victim roles, and stand up and just say, you know, enough's enough. It's time to turn this planet around. And don't take no for an answer, because we are going to have to stand tough, stand tall, and make, you know, our rights known to live on, you know, a wholesome, healthy, clean environment, you know, to live on a planet that is balanced in its ecosystem, that we, you know, deserve the right to live, you know, a life in harmony with each other and the planet, you know, according to the universal principles that are necessary for a healthy society, you know, such as brother, sisterly love, universal peace, you know, prosperity and abundance for all, and just in the separation greed game, the competition game. But that is our divine right, that is our birthright, and it's time for us to stand up for it, you know, and just say, I don't want to do this other program anymore, because basically it doesn't matter, that program's coming to an end. How attached you are to that program and how immersed you are in that program is probably directly related to how much turmoil and loss you're going to experience. So I would try to unhook yourself and get with the new program. There's a lot of communities starting up. There's people that are learning to cooperate and share and work together. There's people that want to live in harmony with the earth and are getting very close to the earth. And maybe it's time to start checking out some of these places and support them and invest in them and, you know, invest in a better tomorrow. Tonight we wanted to take it out into the field, and hopefully we can get somebody to connect out there into the Skywatch field. We have quite a group out here tonight, and you know, hopefully we can ring the field out there and get somebody out on the phone, and we can talk to some of these some of the people in the field here. I think our engineers are listening, I hope, to get the phone line going on out into the field. I think we've got an opening.
Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's Patrick.
Hey, how you doing? I was waiting for that line to open up.
Okay, yeah, I have Danny here from BBC.
Oh, great. Great, put him on.
Okay, here he is. Hold on. Hello.
Hello, Danny. Welcome to the As You Wish Talk Radio.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
How's your visit here so far?
Oh, I don't know where to start, to be honest. I mean, I've been on a bit of a journey anyway. I mean, but I'm learning so much, and it's a shame that I'm only here for one night, really, you know? It's just so much to absorb, you know, James?
You know, we're going to have you back on the air again after you experience the night here and see what you have to say about what's flying over the ranch.
Sorry, James, say that again. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I was saying that we'll have to have you back on the air again, you know, after tonight, and you can talk about what you've experienced flying over the ranch.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm really am opening my mind, and it's a real shame that I have to leave. I mean, I know you have trouble with people staying, outstaying their welcome sometimes. I think I could be one of them people, James, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you have to come out again.
It's one of those places, though, you know. It's such a... You know, it just seems so it's a million miles away from the hustle bustle of London and, you know, just the manicness, you know. It's a great thing for me. It's a good thing for my mind, and definitely a good thing for my heart as well.
Oh, definitely. What brought you out to the ranch? How did you find out about East Seti?
Well, it was really the BBC. I'm an actor back in England, and I've always been fascinated by the UFO thing, and... the BBC just randomly sort of picked me to front their show. I mean, I'm not usually a presenter, you know, so the fact that it was about UFOs, I was like, wow. And so they basically planned everything, they researched it, and, you know, if you're going to try and make a, you know, a show or trying to understand a little bit about UFOs, then, you know, this is the place to be, really. I mean, it's been a real joy for me. I mean, we've been to Wiltshire, you know, in England, and look at the crop circles and stuff like that, and we've been talking to people, you know, that claim they've been abducted. You know, I didn't think were as sincere as others, but, you know, I think the whole thing in England and America, it's a different feel to it, you know. And also, you know, you look in the sky in England and you can't really see anything. I mean, it's so much smog and, you know, it's so clear here. And, you know, I just feel this sense, there's a real energy about this place, you know. It's a shame I'm only actually in America for 4 days, you know. It's like, it's a bit of a rushed visit. I think we should have just based the whole show in America, really. And, you know, obviously, you got to look at crop circles, you know, absolutely. But, I think we spent a lot more time here, really. It would have been a lot better experience.
Yeah, I think we're one of the most censored, underrated places on the planet right now. Although we are internationally known as a UFO hotspot, and the ships constantly come here and deliver, and they come in right when we say they are and usually where, which is very well documented, you know, with Fox News.
Are you confident tonight, James, we're going to see something?
Oh, definitely. You know, we had another one of your friends out here, Robbie Williams, just not too long ago, that he had quite an experience here.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm so excited about the whole thing, honestly. I really do intend to see something. I really do. I need it. I need it in my life, to be honest. But I feel there's a... I'm 32 this week, and I can just feel a big change in my life. You know, I need to start going in a new direction, and I think this is the perfect way to do it, really, you know.
Yeah, people come here and they leave and they're never the same. They go through some kind of a shift, and it's always for the better, you know, and they just have a whole new outlook after the year.
Yeah. It's hard to do that in London. It's hard to do that, really. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that just won't open their mind, and, you know, people who feel that, you know, it's quite laughable what I'm doing, and, you know, I'm quite sick of them people, actually. I need to change my circle of friends in a way, you know. I've just sort of outgrown them a little bit, and, you know, I think this is a massive thing for me, and I just feel it. I just feel something. I don't know what it is, James. I can't quite explain it. I can't put my finger on it, but it excites me. Something excites me about this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a higher frequency here, and the veils are very thin, and it's very easy to make contact and have and see the ships as well.
A lot of love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
A lot of love, man. I'm feeling it.
Did you get a good dinner out there?
Lovely bit of steak.
Yeah.
You know, bit of steak, nice bit of pork there, and yeah, I'm well fed now. I've got a nice can of beer in my hand, and, and I'm just sitting here waiting for it to get dark, man. I've never actually hated clouds so much in my life. you know, I'm actually looking at these clouds with disdain at the moment, but I'm sure they're all going to blow over, James. I totally trust you, and I'm just going to sit here and just. Enjoy it, you know, and enjoying the company more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, there's some pretty amazing people that come through here, and as we talked earlier about it, you know, we've had Air Force base commanders and triple PhD Boeing engineers, and, you know, they actually went on coast to coast and testified that they saw the ships and they aren't ours, and they said it's nothing we've back engineered, and it was they were doing things so far beyond anything that they could wrap their minds around. That they said undeniably that there are ships here and they're extremely advanced, and their physics is far beyond anything we know.
Yes, absolutely, man. It's just a pleasure to be here, and I just really appreciate you, you know, giving us a bit of your time, you know, just letting us have a little slice of your life, really, you know.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing, you know, and it's, I think it needs to be shared with the world, and, you know, I think we're going to do the show justice, you know. It's, we're looking at it with an open mind, and I think people need to start realizing that there's stuff going on now, you know. It's been too long.
Yeah, you know, I just, talking about the crop circles, you know, we've said for years that the ships are doing them. They send down these probes that have the circle actually programmed into them and lay them out.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody had a lot of different things about them, and some of them were hoaxed. Now, there are some pretty messy ones out there. But you can't lay out, you know, a massive crop circle that's so geometrically correct and articulate, and it's just amazing in seconds.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and there's no possible way Doug and Dave, one of them's dead now anyway, you know, could have done that, and they had to have the most extensive frequent flyer miles you can imagine, because these things are happening all over the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever to call this all a hoax and to blow it off, which they've tried to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you.
We had Mel Gibson do a movie on crop circles, and they turned it all into some dark thing that it was a sign that they were just coming to eat us. That was the most grave injustices to something that actually is showing us some extremely high physics. Also geometry and sacred geometry and symbols that are in our ancient past.
Ancient ancient scripture and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah,
1500 1,500 feet, I think it was. I mean, it was just the size of it was just ridiculous. I think it was done in three parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the farmer actually tried to get rid of some of it, and then the next day it was there again.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, what did you feel when you're in the crop circle? Did you feel some kind of energy or tingling in your body or anything?
Yeah, it was something that I couldn't quite. Really a strange feeling, a feeling of being part of something bigger, you know, something,
mm-hmm.
you know, being sort of let in on something, you know, that I couldn't quite get my, I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. The first thing I did when we were doing the show as well was we went straight to Wiltshire, you know, I did a little piece to the camera and then I walked straight into the crop circle and it was a massive thing for me. You know, there's mm-hmm. a few people there as well, and I know the farmers, they don't like it. They, you know, there was actually recently, about 3 days ago, there was a farmer who actually sat in his crop circle, and when people came to visit, he was firing shots off into the air.
Mm-hmm.
He got arrested pretty quickly as well, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think these farmers should actually start thinking about the fact that, you know, they're blessed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So they're not looking at, okay, I understand that they feel they're losing money because they're losing crops, but actually, you know what, you've got to look at the bigger picture, you know,
uh-huh.
and, you know, this guy obviously lost the plot a little bit, but, you know, you've got to understand that he's been blessed with something, you know, and it's like, embrace it, you know, don't fight it.
Well, you know, they checked out the seeds after they make these crop circles, and they found out that the next yield was so much stronger, and there was so much more yield to these crops, and you know, it actually was a blessing on any way you look at it, because although it did wind them up a bit, the next couple of years after that, everything was bigger and stronger and healthier.
Exactly. I mean, there's no point fighting it. I mean, you know, it's a ridiculous idea to fight it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's interesting that it's in Wiltshire as well, that's the hot spot. You know. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I know they happen all over the country in England, in Britain, but Wiltshire seems to be this amazing place where they come to, and
mm-hmm.
they're trying to, you know, they're communicating with us, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them are just so abstract, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to get your head around, but some just seem quite simple, and quite, they're quite into animals that fly, aren't they? And, you know, bugs and bees, wasps, you know, that
yeah,
idea. I don't know what that means. You any idea about that, James?
Well, you know, a lot of that goes back to the ancient Egyptian petroglyphs or hieroglyphs and things like that, and old petroglyphs, and you know, you see all these ancient symbols everywhere, and one will represent, you know, fertility or change or, you know, who knows, but they all have, you know, different meanings, and it's probably just a major art form for them. Probably have fun with it. You know, it's funny. Have you ever tasted the crop circle beer?
No.
Yeah, they actually took a lot of the you know, the hops out of one of the fields where they had a major crop circle, and they started making beer out of it. I thought that was quite interesting.
Wow.
You know, where one of these farmers could actually, you know, start his own pub and start making crop beer.
That's fantastic, man. That is. I just sort of walked in the crop circle and I just thought, you know what, I just don't think that we're capable of achieving this, you know. You know, we're quite an intelligent breed, we're quite an intelligent race, but we're not capable of that, man. And we've got some amazing artists in the world, you know, who do some amazing
mm-hmm.
things, but I think it's beyond art, to be fair, you know. And I can understand that they feel that crops would be an amazing canvas, but they're just, you know, it's too much going on. There's too much going on inside them, you know, for to be, you know, a couple of people running around with wood, you know, flattening out crops, man. It's just it's an absolutely ridiculous idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've it's been a real joy for me just learning about the whole thing, you know. And you know, I hope that they show themselves to the world before I die, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think that's going to happen here real soon. I think we're just a couple years out.
I think it's definitely on the cards, isn't it? We're getting closer to that moment, aren't we?
You know, I've got some footage, and you saw the movie Contact Has Begun with down in Mexico. And they're having constant flyovers there with flotillas, and if not hundreds, maybe even thousands of ships, who knows, because I counted 200 ships in one frame. So, you know, and that didn't even cover all of the ships up there. So it's getting quite interesting, especially, I know there's a big flap over there in the UK with a lot of UFO sightings and more crop circles. And you know, all these other governments are releasing their files. The French are releasing their files. And I know United Kingdom released some of their files. I don't think they released all of them, but Brazil and Mexico and they're all releasing their files, and it's making, you know, the people here in the U.S. and the press look pretty bad, you know, when they're still continuing with this cover-up.
Yeah, man, thanks, James.
Do they cover it over there? Do they, if there's UFO sightings?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it does hit the main press?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, here you can't get it. You know, just recently they started to talk about it because they found out that their ratings go through the roof when they bring up anything paranormal or about anything about UFOs. So, you know, the sponsors love it because the more people are watching, the more their product gets out. And so now, you know, it goes back to money talks. Now because of that, they're starting to cover all this paranormal and UFO activity.
Yeah, man.
Shame it has to go that way, but it's one way of getting it out, I guess.
Yeah, man. I'm just waiting for that sun to drop now, James. Waiting for that sun to drop. It's not going to be long now.
Yeah,
it's
we're not too far out. But I'll bet I can pretty much almost guarantee if we've got some clear skies here and we're not clouded in, we're definitely going to have some activity tonight.
Oh, music to my ears.
Yeah,
you
can feel it. It's kind of in the air. You can kind of feel like an apprehension, you know, like something's going to happen. So,
well, just want to give a big shout out to all the listeners who are listening to your show.
Okay.
And stay loyal to the James, the mighty James. He's a true legend in my eyes.
Oh, thanks. I like to be referred to as nobody. You know, there's nobody to defend and nobody to worry about.
Okay. Fair enough.
Then they leave me alone.
Oh, man, there's just kids running around everywhere here, man. This is manic.
Yeah. For some reason, this weekend seems to be kids' weekend. Usually there's not so many kids, but
just got loads of kids running around, man. They're just quite boisterous, these kids, as well.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, they bring in the UFOs and the light spheres and all the paranormal activity because the kids draw that in more than anything else. We'll get them out in the field and bring out some drums and flutes and start playing some music and then dance them into the ground so they sleep and they go to sleep at about 10.
<You know? laughs> All right, thank you,
Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on the show. Could you pass the phone on to maybe there's somebody else that wants to hook up with us?
Yeah, do you want to talk to Peter?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Do you want to talk to the producer of the BBC
great,
show?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put him on for a little while, James.
Sounds
Thank
great.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, thanks
Love
for coming
you.
On the show. We'll have you back on again, hopefully, after...
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good. You enjoying yourself?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I feel... We had a very stressful journey here, and I feel very calm now that we're here.
Oh, good. That's good.
Lovely.
I heard the plane that you were supposed to be boarding got hit by lightning, or...
Yeah, it was struck by lightning, and then they sort of ummed and ahed about whether to allow it to go in the air, but then I think they made the right decision not to put it in the air. And so it made it very stressful. But it's I don't like travelling very much anyway on planes. But now we're here, it's very calming.
Oh, good.
You can really sort of feel the peace here. It's lovely.
You know, a lot of the filming you did, look at it very carefully because, you know, a lot of times the cameras pick up a lot more of the light spectrum.
I know. Well, we were sort of talking about this before, and actually we have to, anyway, with everything that we film, we go through with a fine-tooth comb because we sort of type up what everyone says and things like that because it makes it easier when we come to the edit. But I think with this one, we're very much going to be looking through it. For another episode in this series of three films, was about the paranormal in terms of ghosts. Mm-hmm. And when we filmed in the vaults underneath Edinburgh, which is sort of like a subterranean city, that they used to use for storage, and then it was people lived in there. It was sort of slum housing. Mm-hmm. And we filmed in there overnight, and we didn't notice any strange noises. But when we played back the video, there's lots of sort of strange chanting and stuff in the background that's
wow.
Completely unexplainable. So I think we'll be doing the same with this one to look for lights and things like that.
Yeah, we have so many guests come here, and they just shoot photographs of the mountain, and they get home, and they just go, oh, my God, and there's a nice ship sitting right there in their photograph, and they always send them to us and say, what is
yeah.
this?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we're looking for. We really can't, we're so looking forward to tonight when it gets dark, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, I think this is the epitome of our journey. You know, we're all sort of really, really, well, I think we are, you know, we were hoping this would be a real experience for us, and I think it has been already,
yeah.
because it is such an amazing place here. But I think it'll certainly tonight should be great fun. Hopefully, we should
yeah.
see some stuff.
Yeah, be sure and watch your dreams, because you know it's not only do you see them flying around later on. A lot of times they work with you in your dream state, and they
give you all kinds
of information.
Hopefully, Sun is going to show us how we can make ourselves sort of more attractive as an energetic being as well.
Oh, great!
So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do lots of different things that'll open us, certainly Danny's mind to see some things, whether it be tonight when we're asleep or whether it be when we're awake.
Oh yeah.
You know, either way will be good for us.
A lot of times the outer experience, and when you see the ships, is just opening the door for the inner experience. And to me, the inner experience is much more important, you know, to be able
yes,
to...
Yes, no, absolutely. Well, absolutely. I know, I mean, it's amazing to get photographs and things like that, but I think what Danny's really after in this show is to feel something. You know, I think
oh,
that's
yeah.
what we all really want. Getting something on a photo is great because you can show other people, but
oh,
it's
yeah.
experiencing it yourself that's important, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It, you know, it just reaffirms, you know, everybody has a feeling that this is going on, and they kind of feel that, you know, there's probably something else out there in the universe, and they're curious about it, you know. But when you see it, and it's in your face, you know, it's a whole new experience, and it makes you reevaluate everything. And it's quite a life-changing experience for people.
I can imagine. I mean, I guess it's sort of that affirmation that people need. They need
mm-hmm.
to, some people, you know, need to see to believe, don't they, or need to feel to believe.
Oh, yeah.
And,
we were talking earlier about that, you know, how the brain actually chooses what you see, and people have it backwards, and any neuroscientist will tell you that, you know, that the brain actually chooses what you see out of billions of bits of information. So it's a matter of having to believe it before you see it. But here, you know, even the non-believers and the skeptics come here and they see these, and they can't wrap their mind around it because they're not satellites, they're not space stations. We have all the data there, and there's these massive objects flying over one after another, sometimes 25 or 30 up to 100 a night, and they drop down in and light up and power up and say hi.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Well, that's what we're, you know, that's what it would be amazing to see that. It would obviously
mm-hmm.
be incredible. And we're really hopeful for tonight because it seems to be quite, there's a few clouds in the sky, but it seems to be quite clear.
Oh, good.
So hopefully we'll see something. And the other amazing thing that we'll have here that myself and Danny and the director, Bruce, are all, we all live in London where you can barely see sort of four or five stars because there's so much light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So out here in the, you know, in the sort of the beautiful landscape here, there's not so much light pollution. So hopefully we're going to see some amazing stars as well that we don't normally get the chance to see at home.
Oh, yeah, we've got just the it's just amazing what, you know, what you can see here. You can see the entire Milky Way, and
mm-hmm.
you're out in the field. If you get it way out in the field, you've got a 360-degree view of the sky, and with the equipment we have, with the third-generation night vision and the lasers to point things out and the infrared cameras, and, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
just, we can film just about anything flying around up there.
It's going to be amazing. No, we're really looking forward to it. What time does it get dark here, James?
Well, we call it dark 30 around here. it's about, I would say probably around 10:30, it's really dark enough to bring the equipment out. Yeah, we can't really film, you know, if there's a lot of light out. We have to wait till it gets pretty dark.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not too long away. So that's in about sort of 2 hours.
Yeah, about 2 hours away, 2 hours out. But, you know, we can do some right at dusk. If we take photographs right at dusk, it's kind of really interesting because we'll get all of these incredible light spheres and other things that just right at dusk, and also ships around the mountain. We get a lot of photographs of these ships flying around the mountain and just close by, like right over the trees here in the field, we have ships with antennas coming off the top of them at a 45-degree angle, and these same ships are filmed in Spain and Mexico, and they seem to be filmed around the world, and they have a very distinguishing mark on them that has this antenna coming off at a 45-degree angle.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so.
Sounds amazing, and that's sort of at dusk, is it, that you film these?
Yeah, right at dusk. It seems like we get a lot of these ships, and we also get them, you know, during the nighttime, too, but with the cameras, but it's much more fun to get them on video because then you've got them flying and you have objects, you know, known objects.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Totally. Let's see. Well, do you want to speak to Bruce, because he's going to be the man taking the pictures?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll just pass him over. Thanks.
All
thanks
right.
very much, James.
Oh, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
Good. You having a good time?
Yeah, very good day. Very good day. Yeah, no, we've had a fantastic time, thanks.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some really good filming tonight and have the ships drop in nice and low on us.
Yeah. No, we're looking forward to it because we've been filming with Danny for a couple of weeks now, but we haven't really, mainly in the UK, really, so we haven't really sort of seen anything or seen any sort of UFO activity or anything, really, that couldn't be explained. So.
Yeah.
This is. I mean, it sounds like you see something kind of all the time here. So it could be an amazing thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of unexplained things going on up there, and sometimes you know, a lot of people try to dismiss these things as satellites or meteors or whatever. But we have all the readouts, and we'll know exactly what is flying over the area and when. Yeah, we can go on to J-Tracker, or we can go on to Heavens Above and find out, you know, what's in the area.
So you have the sort of the software, and then you can cross-reference what you see, basically.
Exactly. We can, if something big flies over, we can eliminate it right away. If it is like the space station or Genesis or Evastat or one of the big objects that people see now and then, we can dismiss it pretty quick.
Yeah. And does that happen most nights? Do you see things that you can sort of explain away, and then there are things that you can't?
Yeah, you know, what happens usually is that, you know, we'll look it up. Something big will fly over, and we'll look it up, and it might be the space station. But at the last conference, we had four of these massive objects fly in and power up and light up, and there was nothing overhead at the time. We looked it up, no known objects overhead at the time. And one after another, they came and powered up, and one was kind of a violet color, one had a bluish purple hue to it, and another one was just brilliant white, and the other one was kind of goldish orange. But they seemed to come in every color and every shape, and they really lit the sky up when they came in. We got it all on film with a lot of the internationally known speakers that were here at the time.
Amazing.
It's actually on the As You Wish show. You know, you can type on As You Wish on the computer and bring it up and just watch it right there. And I'll bring these out, too. We'll go show it out in the main lodge. We'll take these out and before we go, and we can show you what we've got on there. And just a quick
we can see what you've seen before, basically.
Yeah. We have all that footage at the last conference where the ships came in, and it was all filmed by Renato Legato. And, you know, a lot of famous people were standing there at the time.
So
we have all that, and then we have some other previous things that are pretty undeniable.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be, it could be a great night. And what time does the sun go down? It's about 9:30, you say?
Yeah, well, what time is it? It's about almost 9 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say about 10:30, it's dark enough to really bring the equipment out, the night vision or all the other stuff that we have.
Sure.
We have to wait till it gets pretty dark, you know, before we can use that.
Yeah.
You know, before you never know. Right at sundown is when everything starts happening.
Fantastic.
Well, we got about a half an hour after sundown for, you know, to get dark enough to use the other equipment.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, I can't wait to see how you work, really, and how it all plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
One
thing about some of these power-ups, you've only got maybe about, the count of 10 to get them. Because some will power up and come all the way across the sky, but every once in a while they'll come in, and when they power up, they just get massive and light up and pulse a field out, you know, that you can actually feel if you're out in the field when they pulse out. But you got to be right on them to get it. You know, you've got.
How many seconds would they last then, normally?
Well, sometimes they'll last, up to 20 seconds. Sometimes they'll only last maybe 5 seconds.
Right.
And then we've actually seen them power up and just go across the entire sky and stay lit up. But the really big ones, when they really light them up, are shorter for some reason. I think they exude a lot of power, a lot of energy when they do that.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic. And do you have a crew that operate all your cameras, and how does it all work?
You know, basically I do it. I had some people here, but they're not with us right now. They've gone off to other things, but I'll probably be the one man in the infrared cameras. And then I have other people here now that are probably using the infrared. We have the third generation military night vision that we're using to spot them.
Lasers,
you know, to point them out so we can get our other cameras on them.
We'll
have some people out there and get enough eyes out there. We'll see just about anything that starts coming in.
Amazing. And do you stay out all night, or what's the...
It depends. I'm not a real night person, but I will, you know, for special occasions. I'll try to stay up as late as I can, but we have people here. They just throw a sleeping bag down out there and stay up all night. And really. Some of the amazing things happen about probably from around 2:30 or 2 to 5 in the morning, when we have some of the most amazing things happen. The real low, crazy stuff happens really late at night, usually.
Yeah. Amazing.
But hopefully we can bring them in a little earlier.
I
kind of tell them to come in early so I can go to bed.
That's the thing. Send a message out. Fair enough.
Come a little early so I can hit the sack. It's been a long day. You know, they usually
do.
It seems like between 11 and 12, or 10:30 and 12, I'd say, is 11 usually the hour right now.
Yeah.
That we see most of the activity.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, we'll look at the data here, you know, and it'll say over Trout Lake there'll be maybe one or two visible satellites, and then we look up and we see 25 to 50, so, you know, even 100 some nights.
Do you log all your sightings then, if you see something?
No, we used to do that, but it just got to be such a massive logbook and an effort that now we're more focused on creating a space where people have their own experience and see them for themselves. And we kind of got out of all the heavy duty, you know, categorizing everything. We do have a lot of people with PhDs and Boeing engineers and Air Force base commanders. And we have a lot of the pilots. We have all of them documented as far as their sightings. And we figure, after doing this for so many years and having this massive database, we just said, you know, it's we're just getting tired of it. Let people just come out and see them themselves. And it's much more important, I think, than to just read data and things like that, to come out and have your own experience.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to do that, we welcome to, you know, if they want to come out and pull a chair out here and a table and start writing down the exact times and dates of everything.
It's not about statistics for you, though, really.
No, it's not about the left brain stuff. It's about the, you know, the right brain and the heart stuff.
Yeah.
So. We're more into
fantastic.
More into soul evolution here than we are into staying in the monkey mind here. What's interesting is that because of that, we've been so successful, we've actually risen to the occasion, and we invite these beings to come in. And the other people have been chasing them around, you know, like UFO hunters and all this other stuff. They're chasing them around trying to catch them and document and everything else.
Yeah.
And it's really all about rising to the occasion and inviting them to come, and they do. They will come and participate with you on that level.
So you're different from a lot of people in the UFO community in that respect, you think?
Yeah, we're definitely different. And because of that, because we are so successful, that there's a lot of jealousy and a lot of censorship concerning what we do here, because we have taken a very spiritual approach to this, and we, you know, it's a no-brainer that any being that can come here light years away or drop in from another dimension has got to be very, very advanced, and most likely they'd be very spiritually advanced as well, because that's basically where all physics go eventually. So it's kind of a no-brainer that this would be the path to take, but people still want to, you know, chase them around and try to create, you know, a fear and suspense program going, and then they wonder why they're not successful.
Capturing
these ships or interacting with these ships, and so there's a lot of jealousy because we have been so successful, and it's so well documented that you know, there seems to be a lot of censorship concerning, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah. It's interesting. And how do you, when you say you invite these things in, I mean, how do you do that?
Well, with me, I was here, I've been here 23 years now, and I was doing intense inner sensitivity training, teaching deep meditation techniques, and doing all kinds of process-oriented therapies to help people, you know, release the past and heal any unresolved issues and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, because that's actually what keeps us from having access to this higher consciousness and energy that's going on.
Yeah.
So after doing that for quite a few years, probably, you know, well over 10 years into that, we started having contact. And then we realized that the reason they did contact us is because we did rise to the occasion, and we were very focused on, you know, healing ourselves and living in harmony with each other and the planet, and we met the criteria. So that's basically why this has come about and why we have such incredible activity here and support from the, we call it the high five from the heavens. They come and do dazzle duty, you know, you know, say hi to everybody, and they power their ships up and make turns and do all kinds of things. Sometimes they land, and actually the mountain opens up as well. You know, and there's a huge door that opens up on the mountain. Things go in and out of that. So they're not just coming from space. They've been here for a long, long time, you know, in the interior. And there's so much more to this story. People ask us about the UFOs, like, where do they come from? And I said, well, you might want to ask, when do they come from? Because some are coming from the future. Some are coming from a different time, a different dimension. There's so much to this that we can't pigeonhole it into any one thing.
No, it's a big subject, isn't it?
It's it's almost like you need a degree in quantum physics to understand it. You know,
it's
pretty simple, really. You can explain it in very simplistic terms for anyone, you know, when you look into the ancient history, the Vedic scriptures talk about it, and they say basically there's physical ships, there's ships that are pure energy, there's ships that are magnetized light ships, and some of the ships are just pure consciousness, you know, the beings on them, you know, it's kind of interesting, and the occupants are all along that vibrational continuum, so when you understand it that way, it makes sense that there would be nothing there, and all of a sudden they just drop in out of nowhere and light up, and you've got a ship right in front of your face, you know. So they're just ghosts and phantoms to everybody looking for nuts and bolts, you know, for proof.
Yeah.
You know, they. I always think about, why do you need physical proof of a non-physical event when they're clearly energy or light ships, a lot of them, although there is. There is enough physical evidence to fill a whole football stadium, you know, as far as all the back engineered stuff and pieces we've been collecting around the world.
But it's not about that for you, really. that.
No, it's not. It's all about rising in consciousness and, you know, releasing the past and healing and you know, everybody making their own personal contact or connection with the Creator. And,
sure.
And it comes with the territory. If you're on that path, they will eventually find you. But if you want to stay stuck in some religious or cultural belief and not, you know, see the Creator in all things and everyone, then that's where they will leave you. You know, they won't, you know, interface with you because they don't want to support any separatist belief structure, you might say.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Probably got an earful of UFO 101 now. So
you what, sorry?
I said you probably got an earful of UFO 101 now. So
no. Well, I'm sort of you know, because I'm quite new to this subject, and since I've been working on this, really, I've been working on this project for sort of 3 months or so, really. So I've spoken to a lot of people with a lot of different kind of points of view, but yeah, no, it's fascinating to hear you talk, and also to hear, because you are somebody who has had sort of experiences and does live in a place where there seem to be a high level of sightings and things that you've seen from your property. So yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to hear what you've got to say, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you a copy. Remind me to give you a copy of my last lecture because it covers all of this and it has all of the frescoes in it with UFOs in them, undeniable. You know,
yeah.
Very religious scenes with UFOs in them, and then it has the, you know, the hieroglyphs with the UFOs in them and the ancient pyramids and other temples. And
yeah.
It just goes on and on to petroglyphs, Native American, and it just shows how these have always been a part of our history and just the last 60 years or so, there's
yeah.
been an intense cover-up of the subject, and it's just been taboo or laughed at or giggled at, but, you know, it's always been in our history. If people go back before the cover-up started, they'd
yeah.
realize that, you know, this has always been a part of our history, and it's time to you know, bring
yeah.
out the truth.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, it should be amazing tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know, it's looking good. Yeah, 10
yeah.
to 9, so not long to wait, really, but yeah, no, it should be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to go down and hook everything up, hook up all the gear and get
right.
up on the new tower and see what happens.
Are you
going
to be up on the tower, then? Is that the place where to...
Yeah, we can all take our gear up there, and you can film anything from there.
Fantastic. Good
you
stuff.
Know, I'll probably bring out, we've got some infrared spotlights too, where we can light up the orbs and film them. That's
yeah.
amazing as well. So we'll have a lot of fun. I've got everything charging up right now so we can stay out there all evening with it.
Fantastic. Brilliant. I look forward to it. It's going to be great.
All right.
Excellent.
Well,
all right then. So I'll see you at the tower.
All righty. I'll see you.
All right. Thanks, James.
Thanks so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for talking to me. It's great.
All right, I guess you're our last guest because we're running out of time, so feel free to hang up or hand the phone to Patrick and tell him. And
okay,
tell him you're the last
Patrick's
guest.
Not here, but I'll find him. I'll hang up and I'll pass it on to Patrick, shall I?
Awesome, thank you so much.
Yeah, all right, thanks, James. Cheers.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
Well, there you have it, BBC coming out to East Eddy Ranch. We had Robbie Williams out here a while ago, Above Top Secret. Got some amazing footage. And the interesting thing about the ranch is, although some people are saying there's nothing new happening here and there's no UFO activity and they continue to say so, the problem is we've got it all on film and the people are still coming out here and it's pretty undeniable. You know, this is a major UFO hotspot. It's still a hotspot and the ships are still flying and still being filmed. So good idea to start hitting up on these people that are censoring it and not letting this information out and just say, well, have you been there? And if they say no, just say, well, then your opinion is invalid, you know. But anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. It looks like we're out of time. So we'll be signing off. Have a great evening and watch the skies because they're up there. And grab your camera and flip it on night shot and see what you can get. Have a great evening. Good night.